Welcome to Gather, everybody. My name's Adam. Excited to be here with you guys tonight. So to set up our time on where we're going to go for tonight, and then in a couple of weeks when we all come back together, we're going to do a little two-week series. Just tell you guys a little story. Today is like day 23 of my wife and I. We're on the Whole 30 right now. It's been around for a while. Yes, I need the clapping. Thank you very little. So Whole 30, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Whole 30, but this is one of these crazy eating plans. It's not a diet. It's a very strict part of the rules. It's not a diet where you eat fruits and vegetables and meat and nuts and eggs. That's basically it. So that may sound like an impressive list, but when you go through the list of all the things you can't eat, that's when depression settles in with this eating plan. And so one of the things, so day 23, we got about 7 days left. And this is maybe the fourth time we've done this. We've done it just every couple years. It's just kind of a way to reset some things for us. And we always have the same things that we start talking about at around day 20. And one of the themes that Jackie and I talk about when we're on this eating plan is we just start to talk about how great fruit is, right? That is an exciting thing for us to eat is fruit. It is delightful. The other night we had an apple for dessert with some almond butter and we were like, this is delicious, okay? And it's just amazing what'll happen when you don't eat refined sugars and fake food for 23 days, how your taste buds just come alive and you start to realize just how tasty all of these other foods are. And so through all this eating plan over the last 23 days, I am just reminded of how amazing fruit is. Of all of those things that we can eat, fruit is the best thing for us to eat. And this is no knock on anything else. I mean, this is not a knock on vegetables. I've done my bit on vegetables. I like vegetables a lot. Vegetables fill you up. They make you feel full. The way I feel when I eat a vegetable is the way I imagine people feel after they do CrossFit, right? Which I've never done that, but I imagine you feel like I feel when I eat a vegetable, but fruit is delightful. And you just start to even think about the world too. And there's no such thing as vegetable flavored gum, right? Like there's fruit flavored gum. Nobody has a vegetable scented candle. That would be disgusting. And be like, oh, this is a new candle. It's broccoli, right? No, Anthropology is not going to sell the broccoli scented candle. Bath and Body Works is not trying to come out with a new line of Brussels sprout scented or cauliflower scented lotions or shampoos or anything like that. So fruit is delightful. We love it. We love all of this fruit. And so I start with that. I start with that because of this. It's because as you read through Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, if you read through God's Word, you start to realize that one of the metaphors that is often used to describe our lives, the lives of somebody who follows after God, a follower of Jesus Christ, fruit is a metaphor that is used to describe our lives. That our lives are to produce fruit, that we are to be fruitful, that is one of the metaphors that is to be used to describe our lives, which said another way is this, is that our lives are to be delightful, that we are to be delightful to other peoples in the same way that fruit is delightful to my wife and I, our lives are to be delightful to other people. That is what our lives should be like. And so think about that for a second. Think about those who are closest to you right now. Would they describe you as being delightful? Is that the way they would describe you? Would they describe you in your life as being delightful? And as you think about that, if your answer is no, I don't know if people would describe me as being delightful, then I think this week's message, and then when we gather again in a couple of weeks, I think these next 2 weeks are going to be really, really helpful messages. And so what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're going to talk about how our lives can become delightful, how we can produce fruit. And we're going to be in one passage primarily. We're going to be in John chapter 15, and it's this metaphor that Jesus uses that talks about how our lives are to be fruitful, how our lives are to be delightful, how God produces fruit in our lives. And as you look through this passage in John chapter 15, I think there's a couple of ways specifically that Jesus talks about how God produces fruit in our lives. And so we're going to talk about one of those ways tonight, and then in another couple of weeks, we'll talk about the second way. And I think this is going to be a really important couple of messages, and the reason why I think this is going to be an important couple of messages is this, is I think every single one of us wants our lives to be described as delightful. I mean, we may use different words, but we don't want people to describe our lives as being full of decay. We want people to describe our lives as being a delight, as somebody who is refreshing, who gives life. We all want that. And so I've got this little slide here that I've built. So if you look at just Galatians 5, that talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Every single one of us, like, who would not sign up to have their life described that way? That's what we all want. All of us want our life described this way, but nobody in here wants to be on a path towards being a bitter old man or a bitter old woman. Nobody wants to be on that path towards decay and bitterness. But I think the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of us in this room tonight that we are on this path and we don't even know it. Our life is not marked by love. Our life would be marked by narcissism. We're not focused on other people. The decay in our life means that we are so focused on ourselves, we cannot get outside of ourselves. What's running through our mind 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is just us. The whole world revolves around us. Our life maybe isn't marked by joy, it's marked by bitterness. We think we're victims. We think we got the raw end of the deal. We think God dealt us the wrong hand. We think somebody did something to us, and we are now suffering from that. And so bitterness has taken its root. That's the fruit that's in our life that really isn't fruit at all. It's decay. Our life isn't marked by peace. It's riddled with anxiety. We've got constant things that we're worried about that maybe happen in the future. Our life isn't marked by patience. Our life is marked by irritability. We're just so easily set off. We're just irritable all the time. Our life isn't marked by kindness. It's marked by being aloof. We're just kind of in our own world. We're not being kind to one another. We're just kind of going through life, just trying to make it to the end of the day. Hopefully we can be a little bit happier when we go to bed than when we woke up. Our life isn't marked by goodness. It's marked by greed. Our life isn't marked by gentleness. It's marked by this harsh tone. Our life doesn't have the fruit of self-control. It's got this, just we're impulsive, just making these impulsive decisions. Nobody wants that life. Nobody wants that life at all. And so for many of us, our life probably isn't marked by being fruitful. Nobody would describe our lives as being delightful. We're not like the crisp apple that my wife and I had for dessert the other night, or this new phenomenon that's out there. Anybody know about the 3 p.m. apple? Anybody a part of the 3 p.m. apple movement? A couple of you guys. So the 3 p.m. apple movement is trying to, I guess it sounds like instead of having a cup of coffee at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you have an apple at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, because the natural sugars in the apple will supposedly give you more energy to get through the rest of the day than that cup of coffee. That's just free advice for you guys right there. That's just free. Take that home. I think it may have been started by Jermaine Harrison, who's on staff here. So take that for what it's worth if you know Jermaine. He's not a nutritional expert at all, but he has started on Instagram this thing called the 3 p.m. apple. But it's delightful. Fruit is delightful. And so for some of us, we all want our life to be as delightful as the 3 p.m. apple. But I think what we're faced with sometimes is our life is not like the 3 p.m. apple, that our life is like that banana that we left on the counter. And when we left for vacation, that banana had like one little brown spot on it, right? And then you're gone for 10 days. And then you come home and you got that smell that hit you when you walked in, you know? And it looks like the banana went through puberty when you left. Like, it's just got stuff growing out of it now. And you're just like, what happened? That thing was so delightful when I left. And now it's just rotten, right? And I think, unfortunately, some of our lives would be marked by the decay, not by the fruit of that apple. And so we're going to open up John 15. If you got your Bibles, here we go. John chapter 15. Tonight we're going to look at verses 1 through 8, really hone in on verses 1 through 3 as we see one way that God makes us fruitful. Here's what you need to know about John chapter 15. These are Jesus' final words to his disciples. John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 are kind of this upper room discourse. It's the last night before Jesus was crucified. And so he's imparting some final words to his disciples. And here in John 15, some of these final words that he imparts to his disciples, he's giving them this metaphor of what their life should be like. So let's read this. Here we go. Jesus says this, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so here in this first few verses here in chapter 15, Jesus is using a metaphor. Now, in the first century, primarily agrarian culture, everybody in the audience listening to Jesus' teaching would have been nodding their heads. They would have been tracking with him. And now we don't live in an agrarian culture, so some of us maybe don't really kind of get what's going on here, but it's a simple metaphor. What basically Jesus is saying is this. Jesus is saying is he is the vine, that we as his followers are the branches, that God is the vine dresser. He is the master gardener. He is taking care of the vine and taking care of the branches, and the purpose of the branches is to bear fruit. That is the purpose of our life, is to be fruitful. Our purpose is to bear fruit, and we bear fruit to God's glory. So it's a very simple but yet amazingly profound metaphor of what our lives are supposed to look like, that we as the branches are to remain connected to Jesus, that God is the gardener, and as we remain connected to Jesus, life flows through us and our life is able to produce fruit, and we're a delight to the world and we are a delight to other people. It's this very, very simple metaphor. And so in this, though, in this metaphor, Jesus, right here in these first couple of verses, shares one way that God makes us more fruitful. One of the ways that he makes us more fruitful. Look at this. Let's just look here at verses 1, 2, and 3. Excuse me, just 1 and 2. He says, I'm the vine, my Father is the gardener. And so look, this is it. This is how he makes us fruitful, one of the ways. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. He prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. And so what God is doing in the first way that he is going to make my life delightful and your life delightful, one of the ways that he is going to make us fruitful is this, is there's going to be something that happens in our life where he is going to remove dead branches, and then the branches that are producing fruit, he's going to prune them. And so pruning is one of the ways that Jesus is going to produce fruit in our lives, or help ensure that our lives are even more fruitful, that we can be a delight to other people, is when Jesus steps in, God steps in, and he prunes us. So let me show you why. Let me put a picture up here of a vineyard, of a vine, okay? And so this is just a really simple illustration or drawing. It kind of looks like a little vintage, like something you'd maybe see at West Elm or something like that. It's got that, or on Pinterest. Somebody would have this framed at their house right now, I bet, is what this looks like. I just found it on Google. But anyway, so what you have here is you have the vine, right, which is Jesus. This main thick part of that is the vine. And over here on the left-hand side of this picture, these little offshoots coming up, those are the branches. Those are the branches. And so those are the branches that produce fruit. Now, two things Jesus says here is that there is some removal of dead branches, and then there's pruning of fruitful branches. And the reason why there is the removal of the dead branches is this, is that if a dead branch shows up on a vine, if it dies, that could carry some disease and some decay that could then impact all the other branches. And so a good vine dresser, a good gardener, will look at the vine, and if he sees any branches are dead, because he wants there to be fruit that is coming from this vine, he will remove those dead branches so that the disease and the decay does not impact the healthy branches. That's the cutting away. That's just what a good vine dresser does. But then there's also this pruning, these branches up here that produce fruit, that after the fruit has been harvested and now it's going into winter, the good vine dresser will come along and he will inspect all of the vines and the branches that he sees that are producing fruit. He will cut them back. They will cut them back so that the next harvest, they will produce even more fruit. And so what happens with the cutting back of the branches is this, is it takes the nutrients and it focuses them even more on those healthy branches. So those nutrients are not being spread to these other branches that maybe are not going to produce as much fruit. and it's not, those nutrients aren't going to go to a dead branch that'll produce no fruit. A good vine dresser says, no, I want all the nutrients going to this branch so that it will be even more fruitful. If I could layer on another illustration here, I'd do this. Think of like a hose. You got a hose with a nozzle on it with all the different settings. That you've got one setting where you could turn it to shower or to mist, where the water is being sprayed everywhere and it's just kind of going in all kind of different areas. And what a good vine dresser is doing, no, I want the water, I want the nutrients to go in a single area. It'd be like taking a hose and turning the nozzle to the jet stream, saying I want all of that water to go one area so that those nutrients can go farther. And so that's what Jesus is doing in our life. That's how he produces fruit in our life. So he removes the dead wood and he prunes us. He prunes us so that we will be even more fruitful. Now, we're sitting here listening to this and we're going, okay, Adam, don't know if I've ever used the word pruning in my life, okay? Like I've eaten prunes, I've been disgusted by prunes. I don't know if I'm old enough yet to need to start eating prunes, okay? So that's kind of the way that we would maybe talk about prunes, but nobody would in here and just go, you know what? Like nobody in your community group has been sitting around just going, how things been over the last month? Oh, I just think I'm going through a season of pruning, right? That's just, it's just not part of our vocabulary. It's not what we do. But every single one of us has experienced God's pruning in our life. We just don't call it that. You know what we call it? We call it things aren't going the way I want them to go. That's what we call it. What we call it is, hey, I've got some expectations right now, and reality is not matching up with these expectations. That's what we call it. What we call it is, I've got a plan, and this plan is not coming to fruition. My plan of what I think is going to make my life delightful and what is going to make me happy, none of that seems to be happening right now. And I don't know why. And I feel like maybe I'm a victim right now. I'm confused by this right now. I feel like God has turned his back on me right now. I'm in a dark season. It feels like God is quiet. And I don't understand why this is my reality when I have these expectations, why this is happening to me when this is my plan. We've all been through that. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I've shared some stories recently about a trip that my family and I got to take this summer where we got to go out to California. That trip started off, I had so many expectations for that trip. And we were going to be leaving here on in Dallas on like a Thursday afternoon, and we were going to be landing in LA at LAX, the Los Angeles airport, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We were going to be immediately getting in our rental car and driving down to San Diego. It was about 120 miles. I'm doing the math in my head, and I'm like, we're going to land at 3, probably get the rental car by 3:45. I'm totally having dinner on the beach tonight, okay? Like, I am walking on the beach on Thursday night with my family. That's going to make me delightful. It's going to make everybody happy, and that's what's going to be amazing, okay? And so everything is going smooth, and according to plan, my expectations are being met. The kids are doing great on the airplane. We fly, we land maybe a couple of minutes early. I'm like, this is amazing. And then we wait 45 minutes for the luggage, okay? Then we wait. Then we get on the bus to get over to the rental car place that is a half a mile away, 45 minutes on that bus, okay? So we are in airport traffic. I'm not even in the city yet. We're in airport traffic for 45 minutes. We get over there. Our expectations were that we were going to get this little SUV. I got something that maybe Barbie could have fit into, okay? And I'm trying to cram all of our luggage in that. My boys are frustrated with me. They're judging me on my rental car choices. And I'm like, when you get a job, you can start to judge me on my rental car choices, okay? You think I chose this little toy, you know? No, I didn't choose this, all right? And things were still going well at this point, okay? And so then we get into the car and we get on the road and it's like this little side road, and then I get on the highway, and then it took us 2 hours to go 15 miles, okay? Let me just do some math for you, all right? That is 7.5 miles an hour, okay? So it's 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I'm not even in Anaheim yet, okay? So my dreams of having dinner on the beach in San Diego are just gone out the window. Now everybody's hungry, everybody's tired, everybody's cranky, I'm cranky, and we're like, we need to find a place for dinner. Our first night in California, we had dinner at Costco. Now, those chicken bakes aren't bad, by the way. Again, free advice. Free advice. 3 p.m. Apple, chicken bakes from Costco. Two little bits there. We got down to San Diego. It was dark when we showed up. I unloaded the car. Like, I'm just, candidly, guys, like, I'm just bitter. I'm like, why is this going on? I'm in a bad mood. I wake up the next morning. I'm in a bad mood. That night, we're going to go to the Padres game. That's going to be our first baseball game that we're going to go to. We show up. There is just like every seat is sold out. There are so many people there. I'm just getting more in a bad mood. My son accidentally throws away a drink that I wanted him to keep. And I just, you would have thought that he had just murdered somebody, okay? The way that I reacted to that, I did not, I'm just being honest. I did not talk to my kids for 6 innings at that game, right? That's a long time, all right? And I'm just sitting there just stewing, just going, my expectations in reality, expectations, reality, expectations, reality. And they were not being met. Woke up the next morning, and I just had to make that choice. Faced with that decision of just going, I can absolutely stay in this bad mood for the rest of this vacation, and that's what will be remembered. Or I can just sit there and go, all right, Lord, kind of like, not my will, but yours. I had a plan. You had a different plan. It's all good. I trust you. I trust you. So I had that wrestling match with God, confessed to my family, guys, I have not been fun to be around. Will you forgive me? And we went on and we were able to have a delightful trip. And it really ended up being good. It started rocky. We've all been through that. We've all been through these seasons of life. These hours, sometimes weeks, sometimes there are months where just things are not lining up. And what we need to be reminded of is this, is that the when the expectations and reality don't line up and we're confused by it, and it's not a result of overt sin. We just go through these seasons. That's God's pruning us. And the reason he prunes us is this, is that pruning is crucial. It's crucial as God is making you fruitful. There's just no other way. That's what a good vine dresser does. It's crucial as God makes you fruitful. When the plans don't work out, that's usually when we know we're probably going through a season of pruning right now. I don't know about you guys, but the mistake I make when I go through these seasons, and I've gone through many of them, a lot of them are longer than just 36 hours on a vacation that didn't go well. I've gone through these seasons. I don't know about you guys, but I know where my heart does. When I'm going through this season where expectations and reality are not lining up, where the things that I think are going to make me delightful are not present in my life, or the things that I think do make me delightful are starting to be taken away from my life, when I go through those seasons, what I do is I oftentimes will do this. I will wrongly interpret the intent of God in those situations. I will look at those situations and go, hold on, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? And I guess I know what your intent is right now, that your intent is not that you're being a good vine dresser and that you want me to be fruitful so that it'll be to your glory and I'll show myself to be your disciple. No, I will look at those situations and just assume he's mad at me. This must be something I've done. He must be trying to teach me a lesson. He's up there, he's disappointed, his arms are crossed, and he's just looking down at me going, when is Tarno going to get his head straight? And I'll just think that he's mad, that he's turning his back on me, or that he's punishing me or something like that. And I'll wrongly assume that I know what the intent of God is in those situations. And what we need to be reminded of, what Jesus is telling us of here in this metaphor of the way our life is to be, is that we are going to go through seasons of pruning. And God is not turning his back on us in those moments. He is not necessarily mad at us, or he's not mad at us in those moments. He's not disappointed in us in those moments. That we're going to go through seasons of pruning because our life is producing fruit and he wants it to be even more fruitful. This is what a good vine dresser does. This is what a loving father does, is he allows us to experience some of these things so that we will be even more fruitful. Again, I think of one of the seasons, the longer ones that I've been through in my life. If I was really honest with you guys, I would say this. I would say that no plan I ever had for my life, no plan that I ever had involved me standing here in front of you guys tonight. No plan had me in Dallas, Texas on September 2019, chatting with a bunch of my friends. No plan. Some of my story that I've shared, I became a Christian when I was in college, and Moved to Atlanta right after college, got plugged into a great church. I was an accountant down there and got plugged into that church and started leading and started to feel my heart moving towards and maybe God moving towards full-time vocational ministry, and had a bunch of people in my life in Atlanta that were saying, yeah, we think you should do that. We see fruit in your life, and so we think that would be wise for you to go and to try to be even more fruitful. And so I was reading God's word and seeing that the workers, that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, and just had my conversations with God over a season of time and just said, all right, Lord, if the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, I'll be your worker. I'll go. And part of that was moving to Dallas, Texas to go to seminary to get trained. And I thought I'd be here for 4 years and then I would go back to some other church. I'd go back to Atlanta. I'd go back to Washington, D.C. or something like that. And so I moved here in 2002, and there was some really pure motives when I moved here in 2002. I really did have a desire to just serve the Lord. I wanted to teach his word. I wanted to help people understand the beauty of who Jesus Christ was. I wanted people to see God as a perfect father. And I thought it was a privilege and an honor to be trained in that and to go and to maybe have that be a part of my life. And so there was that branch that was producing some fruit. But at the same time, when I moved here in 2002, and I didn't know it then, but I can look back on it and know it now, there were other branches that were growing off that one branch. And there was another branch that really wanted to be liked. And there was another branch that really wanted to be the next big mega church pastor that everybody wanted to follow. There was another branch that wanted people to look up to me. There was another branch that wanted to be, and it just even sounds ridiculous to say, like some like Christian celebrity. There were all these things that were there, and there was some fruit. So I was here for a couple of years and met my wife, and we got married, and you guys know some of our story. One of the first decisions, or we made a decision for me to drop out of seminary primarily for financial reasons so we could pay off some debt. And so God moved me from this stage of ministry and moved me into a cube farm. He moved me into a cube farm, and all of these things that I thought made me delightful were just taken away. My sense of identity was gone, because in the cube farm, nobody cared who I was. Nobody cared what my insights on John 15 were. Nobody cared what gifts I had. My sense of identity was gone. I had some relationships that were taken away from me. The future that had always just been so bright and pregnant with possibility was now suddenly starting to get cloudy and foggy, and I just did not know why this was happening. And it was a really, really dark season of pruning, because these offshoots were there. And God wanted to focus those nutrients, and he wanted to make sure that the fruit that was being produced was going to be even more fruitful. And so he went in, and he just started pruning those things. He started taking those things that I thought were so delightful about me, and he stripped them away. And in the end, all of the stuff that I thought made my life delightful was stripped away, and all I was left with was Jesus. That's it. And it was in that moment when everything was stripped away when I suddenly realized that he is enough. That's it. He's enough. And that the season of pruning was not God trying to rub my nose in my deficiency. The season of pruning was God trying to remind me of his sufficiency. Amen? That he is enough. That he's enough. And that just, I was experiencing things that you guys have experienced and that our brother, the Apostle Paul, experienced, that he talked about in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, get this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. And so we go through these seasons of pruning so that God can just ultimately show us in the end that he is enough. I sat down and had some time with Jackie this morning, and I just asked her, I said, hey, that season that we went through, did it produce any fruit? Would you see, did that produce any fruit? What was God pruning? Am I more fruitful now than I was then? And I said, what changed?
And she said, well, and it, basically, it was really funny what she said, or it was interesting. Like, part of me was bracing, you know, to go, please let there be change, please let there be change, please let there be change. And she just said, Adam, here's what I would describe. I would just say your faith just became real during that time. Became real. Obviously, all those desires that you had for the things that were not of God, like a lot of those were stripped away, but it just became real. I just feel like you matured. You react to adversity differently now than you did back then. And she just, you know, was very kind and just listed off some things. And I'm sitting there and just going, so I think that's what happened, that he pruned me so that I would be even more fruitful. That's my story. You guys have your stories. That's what God does, is that he prunes us and he reminds us that he's not turning his back on us. He reminds us that he's not punishing us. He's not trying to rub our nose in our deficiency. He's just trying to remind us of his sufficiency, that he's enough. That all these things that we think we need in our life that will make us delightful, he's going, no. What makes you delightful is me. I make you delightful. Just stay connected to the vine. And so I'll just wrap up with a story and a quote from C.S. Lewis, because that's just always a great way to end things, right? And so me and Braun and Lindsay and Aaron, we were talking about this message yesterday as we were just getting ready for tonight and thinking about what we wanted to share with you guys. And we went through at the end, after we had talked through some of the outline and some of the different points that we were hoping to be able to make, and I just asked them, I just said, guys, what has been an area of your life or a season of your life that you've been pruned? Do you feel like you've gone through a season of pruning? Because I shared some of mine, and I just wanted to hear what their stories were. And it was pretty remarkable to go around the room and hear all three of them share different stories of different circumstances that the exact same thing happened. And so Braun shared stories of times in his life where all the things that he thought made him delightful, whether it be a ministry that seemed to be fruitful or relationships that seemed to bring him a lot of life or a sense of honor and respect with a certain organization, that all of those things, he went through seasons where all of these things that he thought made him were taken. And he was left just understanding that Jesus is enough. And Braun is delightful, is he not? And my friend Aaron, who I'm getting to know, talked through almost very, very different or very similar circumstances where he went through seasons where jobs had changed and career paths had changed and identity had been shaken, futures had been fogged up, and he realized the exact same thing that Braun had said, the exact same thing I said. And through all of that, all those things were taken, and I just realized Jesus is enough. That's all I need. And then our friend Lindsay shared. And it was really remarkable to hear what she talked about, as she was so vulnerable with us to talk about her story that she says as long as she can remember from some of her youngest memories that she wanted nothing more than to be married. And that she was just recounting with some of her friends in her community group that it is closing in on, and she's given me permission to share this, that it's closing in on 20 years since she's had a boyfriend. And so for her, she would just say, I kind of feel like I've been through a long season of pruning. And life isn't working out the way I thought it was going to work out. And there are things that I thought were going to make me delightful that for some reason are not there. And there's seasons and moments where I am confused and I am questioning and I do feel like God has turned his back on me. But what Braun said and what I said and what Aaron said is exactly what Lindsay said. But I have learned through all of this that Jesus is enough. She is delightful. She is producing fruit. So if we want our lives to be delightful, then this is just what God is going to do. And he does it not because he's mad and not because you've done something wrong. He does it because he loves you. And if he sees fruit, he wants there to be more fruit because it brings him glory. And so we have choices when we're going through these seasons where we feel like what we think we need to make our lives delightful are not there, where expectations and reality are not matching up. We can be bitter and just turn our back on God and go, fine, if you're turning your back on me, then I'm going to turn my back on you, and we can go our own way and we can try to add all of these things to our life. And I think our life ends up looking more like the decay list than like the fruitful list. Or in these moments of darkness, these moments of confusion, these moments where things seem to be silent and we're confused and we're not getting what we want, we can just say, God, I'm going to trust you anyway in the midst of this. And I'm telling you, when that happens, it is powerful. It is powerful when that happens. That's what reminds me of Screwtape Letters, the book that C.S. Lewis wrote, which is kind of this weird book of these fictional characters of like Satan and one of Satan's disciples writing letters back and forth to one another on how they're going to take out God's people. And there's this section where Satan is writing to one of his little disciples, and this is what he says about how their desires to see God snuffed out in the world, what puts their mission at risk. And this is what C.S. Lewis writes. He says, "Do not be deceived, Wormwood. Our cause is never more in jeopardy than when a human, no longer desiring but still intending to do God's will, looks upon a universe which every trace of God seems to have vanished and asks why he's been forsaken and still obeys." Still obeys. So we've all been through moments of pruning, and it is such a powerful testimony to our God. When we're looking around our life and we look around and we don't see any trace of him, and we maybe think that we've been forsaken, but yet we look upon Jesus' words and we remind ourselves that he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful, and to say, okay, even though this isn't going the way I want it to go, I'm going to follow you anyway. Amen? That's powerful. Let's pray that we'll be those people. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you prune us. Lord, that you lovingly remind us that the things that we think we need to make our life delightful are not what we need. That all we need is you. And you have promised us that you are never going to leave us. You are never going to forsake us. And you have promised us, Lord, that if we stay connected to you, if we stay connected to the vine, that we are going to produce much fruit and you will be glorified and others will know that we are your disciples. And that's our heart's desire tonight, is that you will make us a fruitful people. May we be people that even when we're being pruned, we are going to follow you anyway. May we encourage one another when we're in those seasons. May we not feel like we have to hide those, as our sisters tonight have modeled for us so well with Jamie and Lindsay just being so open about their stories and just the power that comes from that and how honored and glorified you are from that. So God, may we be a people that are known for that, the people that follow you regardless of whether or not our expectations are being met. So we need your help, Lord. We can't do that in and of ourselves. And so I pray that you will do that through us. And we thank you for moments like tonight where we can be encouraged together, where we can spur one another on toward those love and good deeds. And we pray that you'll be honored and glorified now by our conversations, that you will continue to teach us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, well, I want to just encourage you. Wasn't that just something to think about this week? That his pruning is not to remind us of our deficiency. It's to remind us of his sufficiency. That is an amazing thought. And some of us tonight, the reason that we don't maybe know that Christ is our sufficiency is because we've never put our trust in what he did on the cross for us. We've never really said, Lord, I confess with my mouth that Jesus said, Lord, I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I can be saved. And you will be all that I need. You will be the sufficiency for my life. And the reason we're looking to everything else for our sufficiency is because we've never really known the Savior. And so we're going to get a chance to talk about several questions tonight. But that's one you need to answer in your own life. And I'd encourage you to talk to a leader. If you go, man, I don't know that I ever really have found my sufficiency in Christ. I don't know that I've really put my trust in what he did on the cross for me. And I'd love to talk about it. We would love to talk to you about that. I sat with a guy today had a meeting with a guy, and we were talking about a lot of the chaos around his life. And I said, hey, I'll give you a little secret. I said, everything we do at Watermark is a discipleship opportunity to point you to Jesus. And so anything you want to come jump in with us, we're just going to keep pointing you to the Savior. And that's what Gather's about, and that's what I hope our table time will be for you guys as we spend some time talking about the goodness of our God.